Ephesians chapter 6. Turn there in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6. When this series on Star Wars, understanding spiritual warfare. This is part 3 of this sermon series. Part 3, Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll begin reading at verse 13. If you have it, say agape. Hear ye the word of the Lord. It says, therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Star Wars, Understanding Spiritual Warfare, Part 3. In part one, just to catch you up, for those that may not have heard that message, you can always go online or download our phone app and get those messages in detail. But part one, we dealt with in verse 10, according to verse 10, understanding our force that we have from our God. We talked about our force, and you know from the movie Star Wars that one of the sayings in that movie is, may the force be with you. May the force be with you. And we as Christians understand that we've got the force from Almighty God that enables us to do spiritual battle. And then we talked about our foe in verse 11. We understand that our foe is right there in verse 11, that you're able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Our foe, we talked about how our foe is and how deceptive and crafty he is. And so we dealt with our foe. Then in verse 12, we talked about our fight is not a flesh and blood fight. No, this is spiritual warfare. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with spiritual warfare. And that was all in part one. And then last week in part two, we picked up saying that we must be properly fitted. And this is where we begin to deal with the armor of God, that we must be properly fitted. Then we talked about the reasons that you and I need to be properly fitted in this spiritual battle, this spiritual warfare. And one of the reasons that we mentioned last week is that we need to be fitted because an evil day is coming. The evil day is coming is what the scripture says, so that you'll be able to stand in the evil day. And any of us that have been living for the Lord Jesus Christ, anybody that have served him and dedicated your heart and your life to him, you understand that evil comes into our lives. Just because you are saved, it does not exempt us from evil. You know, there's a lot of teachings out there right now, particularly the teaching on this prosperity thing, that, hey, when you become saved, you just can just enjoy life and enjoy the goodness of God. And that's true. That's true. Amen. But also with becoming a Christian, there comes attacks from the enemy. And we dealt with that in detail. And if you've never been under attack by the enemy, you need to go back and check your salvation. Amen. You need to go back and check your salvation. If you are doing kingdom work, the devil is going to mess with you. The devil will mess. Anybody been messed with by the devil? Yeah, he'll mess with you. The devil will mess with you. And so there's an evil day coming for those of us that have named the name of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we need to have on the full armor of God. And the other reason that we gave why we need to have this armor on is that God expects us to stand in the evil day. God expects us to stand. Say stand. It's right there in the text. Verse 11 says to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And then in verse 13, he says, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to what? Stand. Then verse 14, he says, stand firm again. So here we go, understanding that God expects you and I, as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, to stand in the evil day. Listen, it's an evil day right now. And the worst thing that Christians can do is to tuck our tails and run. No, that's not in the Bible. God expects you and I to stand in the evil day. Amen. And so we have to put on the full armor of God. You got to have the full armor of God if you're going to stand in this evil day. And indeed, we're living in an evil time. I mean, there's an explosion in New York. Y'all been hearing me say this over and over and over again. It is only going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. It's not. I mean, explosion in New York. Explosive device in New York. 25-year-old female police officer sitting in the car. Someone walks up and just shoots her and takes her life. Evil day. Evil day, evil day, evil day. And all of this is in preparation for the Antichrist to set up his rule. His 7-year rule. And the closer he gets to setting up his rule, the more evil you and I will experience on a day-to-day basis. But God expects us to stand. To stand. And so last week, we began talking about the armor of God. And the first piece of armor that we dealt with was the belt of truth. The belt of truth. That's right there in verse 14. It says, having girded your loins with truth. That's the belt to tighten up that garment that the soldier wore. That belt would tighten everything up. Not only that, you had the sword that was attached to that belt. And if we're going to be ready for this spiritual battle, we've got to have on the belt of truth. Because in the evil day, what the enemy seeks to do is lie to you. He likes to lie to you in the evil day. He wants to tell you lies. And if you don't know the truth, you will fall for his lies. Amen. And many times during that evil day, we talked about how we'll come up with our own truth. What we think is true. Our own opinion and our own ideology during the evil day. No. The only thing is truth is right here in the word of God. This is truth from cover to cover. Genesis to Revelation, it is truth. It is truth. And you've got to have on the belt of truth. And then we talked about that breastplate of righteousness, that breastplate of righteousness, understanding that our righteousness really comes from Jesus Christ, those of us that are saved. There's not enough works that you can do to obtain a right standing before God. Many religions teach that kind of stuff, but we're about relationship, and we've been made right with God through Jesus Christ. That's why you got to go through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the perfect Lamb of God. And it's through his righteousness that you and I are made right. Amen. That's something to shout about. You don't know when you stand before a holy God, if you have not embraced Jesus Christ, you stand before a holy and just God, guilty and ready for condemnation. Ready for condemnation. But if you've embraced Jesus Christ, he's given us a brand new coat of righteousness. A coat of righteousness. He's dressed us up in righteousness, in his righteousness, not our own. But here's the other piece of that. We're also, this breastplate of righteousness represents right living. It represents right living. If you're going to stand in the evil day, you can't take off the breastplate of righteousness and live any old kind of way. That's what we're really talking about as a Christian. If you're going to stand in the evil day, that breastplate of righteousness means you got to live right. Got to live right. We talked about Job last week and how Job was a man that was upright. He feared God. We talked about all that last week. And Job was attacked by the enemy, but Job stood. Job stood, and Job's wife, Mrs. Job, told him to curse God and die. Curse God and die. And Job, it was one hell of a day. Then he had another hell of a day. Got sores, bad breath, all of that. Then his wife didn't like the smell of his breath. Told Job, you ought to curse God and die. And I shared with y'all last week, you know, Job said, should we accept blessings, not curses? You know, he had to challenge his wife at that time. And I shared last week how I believe he got right up in her face with his bad breath and told her that. But then one of the sisters called me at the church and said, no, Pastor, I don't think Job was that crazy. Said he was already in a bad spot. He got away from her. And then we got all, now that conversation went all the way back to the submissive wife conversation. How do we get there? But righteousness that comes from God. And that was a quick review to get us caught up to this next piece of armor that you and I have to have on if we're going to stand in the evil day. Verse 15, it says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shod feet. And we don't have the PowerPoint. No PowerPoint. Oh, there we go. Thank you. That is the Roman soldier's footwear. The sandal that the Roman soldier would wear. And the Bible says that we are to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of the peace. And the word shod, and y'all can just leave that up there. The word shod means to bind, means to tie up. You see those laces on that, those sandals, and they tied up on the Roman soldier's foot and ankle area, and it's tied up real tight and ready to go. This is the preparation. They're prepared to move forward and do battle. Prepared to move forward and do battle. But if you look underneath there, you'll also notice that there are some sharp objects underneath there. And those were nails that were driven in there so that as the soldier marched and as the soldier did hand-to-hand combat, they'd be able to stand. Are y'all with me this morning? They'll be able to take a stand in hand-to-hand combat. Not only that, it was also used to be able to navigate through rough terrain. Rough terrain, going from this place to that place. It's similar to football cleats or soccer cleats or baseball cleats. You know, you can't go out there with just some Chuck Taylors on trying to play football. No, you slip and slide all over the place. Amen. You can't be on a soccer field with no chucks on. No, you got to have on some cleats so that you can dig in. Amen. And this is what the soldier wore, and this is what the Bible is telling us, that our feet need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is, here's the gospel of peace. Gospel of peace is that we are in right relationship with God the Father now because of Jesus Christ through the gospel. The gospel has given us peace with God. Paul said in Romans 5 that at one time we were enemies. We were enemies of God, but through Jesus Christ, we are now friends with God. You heard that song say, I'm a friend of God. He knows my name. God calls me friend. And before we were enemies, but through the gospel, you and I have now, we have peace with God. Listen, somebody that don't know Jesus, they can't throw up peace signs. They don't know Jesus, they can't say peace out. No, you can't say that. It's not peace with you if you don't know Jesus. The gospel is the gospel of peace. It has reconciled us back to God. Romans 5:1 says it like this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So here it is. Here it is. First and foremost, dealing with the shod feet. You and I must be ready and prepared to share the gospel of peace in the evil day. You and I must be ready and prepared to share the gospel of peace in the evil day. In the evil day. Listen. When that time comes, that evil day comes, the gospel needs to be ready to go forth in our lives. Do y'all hear me? The gospel of peace in the evil day. Y'all, listen, when Jesus was on that stormy sea with the disciples, that was an attack. That was a storm. That was a storm of epic proportions. But y'all know what he said? Jesus spoke to the storm and he said, peace, be still. Peace. The gospel of peace has the ability to calm storms. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. And you and I better be ready to share the gospel of peace in the stormy weather. But here it is. Here it is. Because the soldiers' shoes, those cleats allowed them to get through rough terrain to engage the enemy. They had to go through rough terrain. And for you and I, as we share the gospel, we always need to be ready.
always need to be ready. That's the issue. You got to be ready to share the gospel in the evil day. In the evil day. Being ready. Listen, 1 Peter 3:14-15 says, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation. And do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And listen, in this evil day, when men are trying to distort the truth, when men are coming up with all these other avenues of salvation, you and I need to be ready to give them the real gospel in that time, during that time. You got to be ready to give the gospel. Listen, you don't have to know the whole Bible. You don't have to know the whole Bible to tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ. If you know John 3:16, you can turn the world upside down. Amen, amen. I want to go to seminary. Well, I want to go to cemetery. You don't have to do all that. If you know John 3:16, you can give a defense. And at the end of the day, all you got to do is give your own testimony. Huh? Anybody know what I'm saying? You can give your own testimony. Listen, I may not know all of the books of the Bible. I may even call Job, Job. I may call Psalms, poems. But I know that once I was a sinner and God got a hold of me and he turned my life around, that's the gospel, and that'll preach any day. Have I got a witness? Being ready to give a defense for the hope that is in you. But here it is, another thing as it relates to the gospel of peace and being ready to give it. The gospel will give you peace and help you to hold your peace in the evil day. Write it down. The gospel will give you peace and help you to hold your peace in the evil day. Listen, on that evil day, the enemy wants to disturb our peace. That's what the enemy's job. The enemy's job is to disturb our peace. But the gospel of peace allows us to have peace during the evil day and then helps us to hold our peace. Amen. Listen, Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That is verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's during those times that the gospel of peace, the Bible says, don't worry about nothing. Stop stressing. Stop worrying. It says, give it all to God. Go before God in prayer requests and with thanksgiving. He says, let your request be known to God. In other words, tell God all about it. Tell God all about it with thanksgiving. And be excited about it when you're telling him, God, I'm telling you about my problem, but I want to thank you too. While I'm telling you about my issue, God, I want to thank you for what you've done for me. God, while I'm dealing with my issue, I want to thank you for being good to me. The Bible says when you do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind. Listen, we've got to learn to go to God with our issue in thanksgiving. He said, don't worry about it. Give it to God. Not only that, this peace. This peace helps you to put up your peace. The peace, the gospel. The gospel of peace will help you put up your peace. Listen. Those shoes had those cleats on the bottom, meaning that they were dug in. They were dug in. And the gospel of peace, we need to be dug in. And it doesn't mean that you retreat. Doesn't mean that you run. And it don't mean you lay your religion down. Y'all heard people, made me lay my religion down. Number one, we ain't not about religion. We're saved. We're about relationship. Amen. But the gospel of peace will make you put up your peace. You know, we live in an evil day right now. We're looking at all these shootings and all this stuff that's going on. And I'm just giving y'all a heads up notice that we're going to have a forum here at Agape Christian Church. And the Lord put this on my heart because I'm not a community activist. I'm not about promoting this agenda or that agenda. The only thing God called me to do is promote the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. And so one of the members wanted to host a forum to to deal with gun violence. Gun violence. And at first I hesitated and I said, but the Spirit of God began messing with me. And the Spirit of God confirmed in my heart that this needs to be addressed the right way. The right way. The right way. And the only way, the only way people will put guns down is when they have the gospel of peace. But that's the issue. I don't care what laws are legislated. It doesn't matter. Listen, before there were any laws, Cain killed Abel. Before any laws. I don't care. It doesn't matter. What guns, all of that. Again, I'm not promoting any agenda other than the gospel. And it's the gospel that will change hearts and help people to put down their pieces. That's the reality of it. That's real. And I invite every member to be here because I already told them I'm setting the agenda. I'm in charge of that whole thing. It's here at Agape. And I'm in charge. God has given me charge during this time to be able to address that because I'm tired of people being lied to. If there's going to be change, it's going to be through the gospel. Through the gospel. And so I'm pumped up about it. Y'all be in prayer about it. Amen. But the gospel will help us put down our peace. Many of us, I know not us, but some of y'all, because I wasn't like that. I'm not a violent person. I'm a friendly fella. But I know a whole bunch of folks that gospel of peace did some wonders in your life. Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody ought to say amen. Brothers and sisters, I know sisters be quick. Thank God for the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace helps us to hold our peace. Amen, amen, amen. Look. See, you dug in. You dug in. Amen. You are dug in, you dig. You dug in. Listen, and see. You and I as believers, we're called to be peacemakers. We're called to be peacemakers. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And the gospel brings peace. But here's the last thing the gospel does. The gospel of peace does great damage to the enemy. The gospel of peace does great damage to the enemy. To the enemy. Now, those nails on the bottom, they were used for being able to navigate rough terrain. They were also used to be able to take a stand. There's one more use. One more use. Got up close enough to that enemy. When that enemy was on the ground, you know what those things came in handy for? Oh, yeah. Stomp the enemy out. That's what they were used for. But look, God gave me something. Y'all, look. Listen, the enemy, our enemy, Satan, his job is to divide and cause destruction and cause damage. That's what he did way back in the garden. He did it way back in the garden. Adam and Eve were in perfect harmony and fellowship with God, but because of sin, it caused separation, it caused division, it caused damage to that relationship. But in Genesis 3:15, the scripture says he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Genesis 3:15 is called a proto-evangelium. Proto-evangelium. Say that. Proto-evangelium. Proto signifies first. First. And evangelium is where we get the word evangelize, where we get the word good news. And so here, way back in Genesis, you have a picture of the gospel, the good news, the gospel of peace. Way back in the beginning, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. And we know what happened on Calvary. Satan was defeated. That was the crushing blow to Satan. Paul in Colossians, he said he made a public spectacle triumphing over them. But in Romans 16:20, it says this, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The God of peace, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The word soon means quickly, shortly, not far from now. It's just around the corner. Oh, listen. He's already been defeated. Y'all hear me this morning? He's already been defeated, but even as you and I are in spiritual warfare, he's still being defeated. Y'all not hear me? So, listen. The gospel of peace defeated him way back on Calvary. As you and I live our day-to-day lives, he says soon. So, and when you're engaged in spiritual warfare and the enemy is messing with you, all you got to do is think about soon, not long from now. Your victory just might be around the corner, but you got to stand. You got to stand during the evil day. Listen. Jesus was attacked by all the forces of evil on Calvary's cross. He was attacked by all. Everything that Satan has was unleashed on Jesus at that cross. But you know what? He stayed right there. Because you know what he wanted to do? He needed to do that crushing blow. He had to give him that crushing blow. And Satan thought he had it. Yes, he did. He thought he had him. They celebrated. The demons began partying. They got excited. But then the party was blown up Sunday morning when he got up with all power in his hands. That was that crushing blow. But listen, there's one more still coming. There's one more, because when you read the book of Revelation, at the end of the day, it says Satan and his demons will be cast into the lake of fire. That's the final blow. But you and I, we can stomp him out even now. This is what it means, this gospel of peace. And there's nothing that does more damage to Satan than the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Think about it. We talked about how in the part of Ephesians where we were dealing with the family, how husbands treated their wives. We talked about how husbands did, how fathers did their children. We talked about all this stuff. We talked about slavery and all of those things. The gospel broke all of that. The gospel of peace destroyed all of that. And you and I have to understand this is what the gospel does. And in the evil day, we got to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of faith. Amen. Next one, shield of faith. Shield of faith. Verse 16 says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Now, this shield of faith, this Roman shield, was used to block the flaming arrows that were being shot at the soldier. That's a metal shield. They had leather shields as well. The Roman soldiers, they had leather shields as well, but that leather couldn't really hold those flaming arrows that were lit by oil. They would light these arrows by oil, and they would shoot them at a distance. And you've seen it in some of the movies, how those arrows flying over, just coming in, and they want to attach to that shield. The arrow wants to attach to that shield. But when they had the metal shields, when they got the metal shields, it was game over at that time. It didn't matter. Those arrows could not attach to that shield. Are y'all with me this morning? And the Roman soldier's shield was made of metal. Now, these arrows, these fiery missiles, they were ordinarily, they were just lit and sent from a distance. Now, these arrows represent doubt. These arrows represent non-belief, negative doubts and negative thoughts. That's what these flaming arrows represent. And only the metal shield could extinguish these arrows. And here it is, number one. You and I must have total faith and trust in God in the evil day. There it is. We must have total faith and trust in God in the evil day. that soldier, as he held that shield up, that metal shield, and you got to think about that. Here come these fiery arrows. That soldier totally trusted that shield to extinguish those arrows and to block those arrows. That's total trust and dependence in a shield. In a shield. And what the Bible is teaching you and I is that in the evil day, as those negative thoughts come, as that doubt come in our head, we've got to have the shield of faith. The shield of faith to extinguish all of those fiery darts and those fiery missiles that are coming from the enemy. That's what the shield of faith represents. We must have total faith and trust in God in the evil day. Listen, the evil day will try your faith. Y'all looking at me crazy this morning. Listen, an evil day will really test and try our faith. Oh yeah, there are people who have walked away because it was just too much. Faith wasn't strong enough. That shield protected from those fiery darts, those fiery arrows that were coming. And that's the question. That's the question. What type of shield do you have? What type of shield do you have? Is your shield a shield of leather? Or is it metal? Is it leather or is it metal? Listen, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Listen, and when you understand faith and you understand the God that we serve and how big our God is and how awesome our God is, listen, we've got to be able to put our trust in him in the evil day. In the evil day. Luke 1:37 says, but nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. Matthew 21:21-22 says, Jesus answered and said to them, truly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it shall happen. All things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, we understand that you can look at a mountain and say, mountain be removed. That's not what he's talking about. But he wants us to understand, no matter how large your obstacle, no matter how large your problem, no matter how large your situation, if you've got the shield of faith, you can say in the name of Jesus, be removed. Be removed. Be removed. Now, I got to bring this home, y'all. Y'all got to understand this. So there were different sizes of shields. Some shields were smaller, some shields were larger. Now, if a soldier had a large shield, then his confidence went up. Are y'all with me this morning? Those who had the little bitty shields, they didn't have a whole lot of confidence. And here's the question, what size of a shield do you have? Do you have a big shield or do you have a little shield? See, when you've got a big shield, that covers everything. You know, God, you got this issue. God, you got that issue. God, you got that issue. I got total faith and confidence that God, you got me covered. That's what the shield of faith. The question is, what size is your shield? What size is your shield? But that's not only the only function of the shield. It's not the only function of the shield. Our faith, here's another point. Our faith extinguishes and knocks out doubt in the evil day. Our faith extinguishes and knocks out doubt in the evil day. We talked about those flaming arrows, how they could quench, the shield would quench those fiery arrows. And 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith, even our faith. But there's one more function that shield does. Put that next one up there. Put that next visual up there. I want to get that visual. Go back. You go back. There it is. Y'all see that little knob? Y'all see that little knob on that shield? Y'all see it? Can you see it? What do you think that's for? You know what that's for? You get to the place, you get close enough. Knock them out. Boy, y'all working me. Listen. God, you provided for me, and you made a way out of no way, and you came through for me. God, I needed this, and you came through for me. And what happens is you begin to advance in your faith. And as you advance in your faith, you're getting stronger and stronger
and stronger. And that issue that you're dealing with may be a little difficult. But as you have faith and your faith is increased, you get stronger and you get stronger and you get stronger to overcome whatever that issue is. Whatever it is. We all got issues. We all have issues. But my faith has never wavered. I've been blocking dart after dart. Darts of doubt. I can't do this, and I'm blocking it. Yes, I can through Christ who gives me strength. I've got my shield working on this side. Got my shield blocking this way and blocking this way. And all along, I'm still advancing. And I'm still moving. And I'm still progressing in my walk with the Lord. And this issue seems like it won't go away. But I keep blocking it here. And I keep blocking it there. And I'm getting closer and closer to getting my breakthrough. And then you get close enough, the way you take that little knob, and you knock that thing out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's what the shield of faith is all about. But I got one more, I got one more, I got one more on this shield of faith. Here it is, the third part. It says this, here it is. When we combine our faith, when we combine our faith, we become an incredible force that can accomplish great things. When you and I combine our faith, we become an incredible force that can accomplish great things. Now, y'all see all of those shields. They covered on the top. They covered on the side. They've covered in front. Now, here it is. All of us have accepted Jesus Christ by faith. All of us have accepted Jesus Christ by faith. But we need to take that faith to another level. In other words, when you exercise your faith and begin serving in ministry, taking that step of faith and start serving in ministry, what that does is that makes us stronger. Y'all see that formation? You saw that formation? Now, what would that formation be like if one of those persons with their shield moved it? Wide open to the enemy. Wide open to the enemy. But when they stayed close together and they were tight, and then they began moving with each other. They were able to advance and do greater things together as a unit because they're all exercising their own level of faith. Are y'all with me this morning? Listen, I've talked about in serving. Listen. But here, listen, we're talking about faith because it takes faith to serve God. And sometimes God may be asking you to do something that you don't want to do, but it takes faith. Amen. We're talking about getting out. It took faith to get out the boat. 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 Y'all been hearing that over and over. Get out the boat. Get out the boat. If you're still in the boat, you need to get out the boat. Take a step of faith. That's what faith does. That's what faith does. But when everybody is getting out the boat, oh, we become a mighty force for God. Become a mighty force for God. Listen, faith, it takes faith to tithe. That should be a shouting. That's a shouting point. It takes faith to tithe. How big is your shield? How big is your shield? How big is your shield? Listen, it takes faith. And when we all step out in faith and tithe, you know, it takes faith. When you look at all your bills and you look at how much you owe here, how much you owe here, how much you owe here, and how much you owe here, it takes faith. It takes real faith. Amen. Somebody know what I'm talking about? I know what I'm talking about. No, and faith, this is what faith does. Oh, I'm going to show you what faith does. What faith does is, the moment you get the paycheck, you don't even look at any bills. What faith does is go ahead and write the check or make the payment. That's what real faith does. That's real faith. I'm not even concerned about it. I'm not even thinking about it. I don't even want to look at that. God, here you go. That's that big shield faith. Because I know, God, that when the evil day comes, you're going to protect me. You're going to provide for me. You're going to deliver me because I've honored you first. It takes faith. It takes faith. But if all of us do it, if all of us do it,
By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. It takes faith. Listen, when we all do it, we become a mighty force for the Almighty God. All of us. It takes faith. Finally, the helmet of salvation. I'm going to be through. The helmet of salvation. Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. Now, the Roman soldier's helmet, there's a picture of it. Those red feathers on top of that thing, that was just decoration. They had no purpose, just decoration. But I take that back. That was more of an intimidating factor. When they saw those red things coming, they saw this army coming with all that, that was kind of intimidating for the opponents as they saw that coming. But the helmet was used to guard the head from blows from a sword. As they swung, they would try to strike them in the head. And they started off with leather helmets, kind of like football back in the day. They wore them helmets that you fold up and put in your pocket back in the day. But they've evolved to these helmets now that they have. And the leather helmets at one point in time had different pieces of metal engraved in them. However, that leather was still there. And they realized that they could still be exposed to the enemy. They could still be. Some of y'all just caught that joke about them leather helmets. But they would be exposed to the enemy, the leather helmets. And they eventually got to the place to where they had the entire metal helmet. As what you see there, metal helmets. Now, on that helmet, there were different emblems on the helmet. And those emblems, when a person would put that particular helmet on, it gave them confidence that they would overcome in the battle. In other words, it was a mental thing. It was a mental issue. You know, it wasn't nothing special about that helmet, but it just had the little emblems on it. But the soldier believed that if they put that helmet on, that they were guaranteed a victory. Some of us remember getting some tennis shoes for the first time, and we thought those tennis shoes made us faster. I remember Mom bought me a pair of shoes. I put them on and ran to the mailbox and ran back. Thought I was faster. Shoes had nothing to do. I was still slow as molasses. But it was all mental. It was all mental. And so as the soldier went into combat with that particular helmet on that had the emblems, he had an expectation that he was going to be victorious. Ooh-wee. Look. In spiritual warfare, the enemy wants to make us believe that you and I are defeated. That's one of his greatest tactics. If he can get in your head, if he can get in our heads that we're defeated, we've lost before we even fought the battle. Y'all know Iron Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson would beat people before he even stepped in the ring. People look at Mike warming up, them black shoes on, no socks, and just cut up. And they look at Mike before they even get in the ring. They already defeated. And they get out there, ding, ding, bam, fight over. Until Buster Douglas came around. But it was all mental. It was all mental. And so many times as Christians, we're defeated because the enemy has lied to us in our head, said that we can't be victorious. But those of us, if you've got the helmet of salvation on, you understand this. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says this, but since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. Now, those of us that are in Christ, we are already saved. You can't do nothing about that. Our salvation is secure. Can't lose it. It's final. But he says the hope of salvation, the hope of deliverance, the hope of being rescued, it's what we need to have on, because when the evil day comes, we've got to have it locked in our head that God will save us and deliver us and rescue us. Listen, you remember the Hebrew boys? They said, look, our God is able. Our God is able to deliver us. There was no doubt in their mind that God could save them, that God could rescue them. Listen, this reminds us, this is a mental issue. You and I need to have locked in our head that salvation belongs to our God. And this is the hope of salvation. This gives us assurance of salvation and deliverance, which helps us mentally in the battle. In the battle, here it is. We are not fighting for victory. We fight from victory. Y'all need to write that down if you don't know that. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Oh, what a big difference. Oh, what a big difference. That's a game changer. I'm not trying to win. I already win. I already win. I'm already a conqueror. Listen. We're fighting from victory and not for victory. And you and I, we have to have this in our heads in the evil day. In the evil day, that I'm a winner. I win. That's what that emblem, those emblems gave them confidence. And you can have confidence in the evil day that I win. I'm going to give you some scriptures that you can take with you as I close. Listen. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. 2 Samuel 22:2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." You got to have that in your head in the evil day. Anybody with me this morning? Psalm 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." You got to have this in your head in the evil day. Put on the helmet of salvation. Daniel 6:27 says, "God delivers, he delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth." You got to have this in your head. He has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." You got to have this in your head. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9 says, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Then he goes on to say in verse 16, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." But then Paul goes on to tell us in Romans 8:31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." But verse 37 says, Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing in all creation shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You gotta have that in your head in the evil day, that I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm victorious. You got to be persuaded. You got to know without a shadow of a doubt that I win. I win. I win. I win. I win. I win. Hey, you got to have that in your head. You got to have it locked in your head. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves me. I always win. I'm not trying to win. I already won. I already won. Are you a winner this morning? Are you a winner this morning? Are you a winner this morning? We win. We win. We win. We already won. We already won. Game is already over. 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 Hey. 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 We win. Hallelujah. Bless you, God. Bless you, God. Thank you, God, that we win. Thank you, Jesus. You defeated the enemy. Gave us salvation. We're saved right now. Saved from destruction.